Good afternoon. I'm going to call the meeting of the Commerce Committee to order. Welcome, everybody, to our first meeting of the 2019 legislative session. I'd like to start by making sure that we all know who is on this committee. It's a large committee, so hopefully we can be brief, but we'd love to know your name, the district you represent, and then for fun, because one of my favorite things about the jobs that we get to do is to learn about the state. So if you could tell us, if we visited your district, what's one thing we shouldn't miss when we visit your district? So, and who would like to start? How about Representative Kreisha over there, since I can hardly see him, and we can come around this direction.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have the short chair in the room, so just as anybody knows. Congratulations on your chairmanship. Wise choice. So one thing, Little Falls area, my district is 9B. I cover five townships in Todd County. And in Morrison County, I have all but three townships. If you come to Little Falls, you may or may not know, I hope you all know, that's got the Lindbergh designation. But we have a zoo, full-fledged zoo. And if you have not come to see, don't want me, you, Mr. Bloomington. We have an awesome zoo. Come see our zoo. We don't have the Mall of America, but we have a great zoo.
I was not going to say Mall of America, so damn you.
But yeah, we do a full flat. I mean, it's an amazing zoo that most people don't know about. So stop in.
I take it I'm next.
You are next.
Yes. Tama Tice from District 14A, which is the west and south part of St. Cloud, Wake Park, St. Augusta. You need to see the water. And by that I mean you can go to the quarries, you can go to the Mississippi River, and then you can go to Summertime by Lake George, which brings in about 12,000 people every Wednesday night in the summer months for a concert. So those are, like, check out the water features.
Thanks. Representative Tadke.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. Brad Tadke, new representative for Shakopee, 55A. I can't get my seat to go up either, so I'll just be appreciating it today.
I'm following it.
It's just the chair.
Shakopee, I definitely recommend everyone come to downtown Shakopee. We have, it's one of the towns that has a historic downtown. It's awesome. It used to be known as Little Chicago because we had a big mob scene in Shakopee, which lots of tunnels that went underground and got out to the river for a quick exit for the mafia. So,
was that prior to your time as mayor?
It ended around the same time. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Representative Garofalo.
First of all, congratulations on your appointment and
Thank
selection,
you.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I am a man who simply needs no introduction. So that's about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Pat Garofalo.
You're right.
I'm Pat Garofalo. I represent the community of Farmington as well as portions of rural Dakota and Goodhue counties. I would say if you're coming through my legislative district, good place to visit would either be King's out in Meesville.
Uh-huh.
Get some good burgers. Wiederholz out in Meesville is good. The Trophy House is a great restaurant in New Trier. Or right in Farmington, you could go to the Long Branch Saloon and Eatery. So a lot of really good dining options in my area. And you'd be surprised you go a couple miles out of the suburbs how much more affordable the food is.
There is amazing burgers.
There is a vegan, Madam Chair, believe it or not. So, out in the town.
South Metro Rocks.
Okay. My name is Dave Lislegard, representing 6B, the Great Iron Range. And if you want to go see some things, I would encourage everyone to stop at the Wellstone Memorial. Mm-hmm. That's very very special place to go to. Giants Ridge, if you like to ski or golf. Whether it's winter or summer, or go to a mine view and see how big trucks and big trains and all that really works. And we have great water.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I represent District 52B, which includes Mendota Heights, Invergrove Heights, Sunfish Lake, and a little bit of Northern Eagan. And that little bit of Northern Eagan includes the Vikings training facility. So would encourage people to come out and see that.
Go Vikes. And you're wearing purple today.
That's why.
I'll note that for the record. Representative Letch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm John Letch. I represent District 66B in St. Paul, a little bit of the east side, North End, Como Park, and Hamlin Midway. And if you're going through there, you need to stop by Como Zoo and Conservatory and see the polar bears. but don't touch.
But don't park your car in your backyard either, right?
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and congratulations to your chairmanship. You have a long line of chairs that have really enjoyed serving in this capacity.
And I think quite excellent chairs.
I was term limited out back in the day. I hate term limits. You know, I say there's the simple solution for simple minds. I mean, you know, when you throw all the bums out, you know what you get? All new bums.
Yeah.
So I would congratulate you. I represent District 28B, all of Fillmore and all of Houston counties. I border Iowa and Wisconsin, so I'm way down there in the corner. I would say when you come visit me, call me up, we'll go out, have something to eat, and then I will give you a tour. And it's going to sound kind of strange for an attraction, but it's just an amazingly beautiful place, the Southeastern Minnesota Veterans Cemetery, which you will be amazed when I finish the tour and I give personal tours of the place. And it's just an amazing tribute to our veterans. So that's what we'll look at when you come down and see me.
Thank you. And our great research staff, Laurie.
Laurie Pompu, House Research. I do not represent a district, obviously. I live in Minneapolis, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. And you're welcome to tell us if you have a favorite spot in Minneapolis, but you don't have to feel pressure.
U.S. Banks.
And welcome, Amy.
Hello, y'all. My name is Amy Vu. I grew up in St. Paul. I still live here in St. Paul. I am the CLA for the committee, and I would actually have to say the conservatory is my favorite place in St. Paul, so I go there pretty it was a family frequent.
Excellent. Thank you, and welcome. So I'm Lori Halverson. I represent Eagan, have two-thirds of Eagan, the district that the precinct that Ruth has is pretty cool, but I will tell you that one of my favorite places to go in Eagan is any of our parks, but I will highlight Capone Art Park, which was privately owned land by an art professor of McAllister College who put sculpture throughout the park, and they host activities all summer long, all year long. The Bluegrass Festival is one of my favorites, so come on down in the summer. And Lebanon Hills is open, and people are riding horses and hiking. We need to be skiing. And riding bikes. So, thanks.
I'm Laura Taken-Holtze. I'm the committee administrator, and I live in North Minneapolis. So. And I would say what's awesome near me is Theodore Worth Park, which is a few blocks from my house. If you like skiing, swimming, golfing, now eating, there's all sorts of things. It's lovely.
Okay, thanks. Representative Mahoney.
I'm Representative Tim Mahoney. I represent District 67A. There are two favorite places in my district. One is my screeching tree, when I really had it with certain places that I've spent a lot of time. I go out there and yell at it because it doesn't talk back. And the other is the new Chinese garden in the Phelan Lake Park.
Thanks.
Gorgeous place.
Representative Stevenson, Vice Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm Zach Stevenson. I represent Champlain and Coon Rapids. In between Champlain and Coon Rapids is the Coon Rapids Dam, which creates a 6-mile recreational pool on the Mississippi River. It's one of the best kept secrets in the Twin Cities in terms of a place to take your boat out or go fishing. But what I'm really going to point you to in Champlain is a restaurant called Q Fanatic. It is, I will say, the best barbecue in the Twin Cities. You should absolutely check it out. And there is they just opened a new location in South Minneapolis, too. I don't know if that's as good, though. It's not in Champlain.
Representative Howard.
Michael Howard, State Representative for District 50A, which is Richfield and East Bloomington. Richfield and East Bloomington has some of the best authentic Mexican fare, Andale Taqueria, El Tejabon Grill, and many others, and drink the tap water. There's a healthy competition between Richfield and Bloomington about who has the best water. And then whether you like it or not, you'll probably... St. Paul, okay.
It's actually Minneapolis.
All right. Maybe we can just have a taste test one day. And whether you like it or not, you'll probably end up in my district on the freeway. The 35W-494 intersection is in District 50A as well.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Love to call you Madam Chair. I represent District 59B. Many of you have been in my district. If you've attended a Wolves game, a Twins game, or a Vikings game, you've been in my district. Those are all exciting places, but I invite you to come to downtown North Minneapolis to the Capri Theater, see a show there. It's the place where our legend from Minnesota, Prince, got his start. It's about a block and a half away from my house.
Okay, I just got goosebumps. So, yeah. Prince.
Representative Steve Elkins, 49B. I live in Bloomington. The district is western Bloomington, southern Edina, a little chunk of northeast Eden Prairie, and a little chunk of southeast Minnetonka. And the places I like best within my district are the parks, Highland, Bush Lake, Normandale Park is a regional park, skiing, fishing, both excellent. Bryant Lake Park in Eden Prairie is also within the district, which also has really good boating, fishing, water skiing as well. So it's the parks.
Thank you. Representative Katiza Watun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I live in Eden Prairie. I represent 48B, which is the majority of the city of Eden Prairie. And I guess if you're, in addition to all the parks that Steve mentioned, some of which are in Eden Prairie, but not in my district, looking for some more nature trails, beautiful hiking and biking trails available, as well as a bunch of lakes in Eden Prairie. If you're hungry, grab a hamburger at the Lion's Tap, which Representative Tabke will point out that is one of his favorite spots. And additionally, if you want to wait a couple years to visit Eden Prairie, you'll be able to visit us on the Green Line with the Southwest Light Rail expansion, but don't wait that long.
Thanks. Representative O'Neill, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Marion O'Neill, I have 29B, which is Buffalo, Monticello, and Maple Lake. And we are famous for occasional sales stores. So we have 25, almost 30, I think now. I kind of lost track in the whole district. Occasional sales stores, and it started with Secondhand Rose. So this is upscaled, recycled, antiques, all the just beautiful stuff. My office is full of the stuff from my district. It's fun to decorate. It's way better than Pier 1, I got to tell you. This is like the real authentic good stuff that grandma used to have, or great-grandma, or even older, but it's upscaled. So it's really cool, fun stuff to buy. People from Edina really love it, so you should come out.
Shopping. Amen. How about our DFL House Research staff, Eric?
Yeah, my name's Eric Anderson from DFL Research. Grew up in Eden Prairie, but I live down in Apple Valley. And since we're on the topic of zoos, the Minnesota Zoo, I'm there every weekend with my two-year-old.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Not closer. Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Andrew Carlson, represent Bloomington. Of course, very proud to represent the Mall of America. As some of you may not know, the mall receives over 40 million guests every year. That's more than the Grand Canyon and Statue of Liberty combined. So we are accustomed to being a community of hospitality. So on these cold winter days, come on, stop by the mall. But I would be remiss not to also mention the Minnesota Wildlife Refuge, which is just literally a half mile away. If you get down the refuge, you forget that you're actually in a metropolitan area. So come check out both.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tim O'Driscoll from District 13B, which represents the city of Sartell, Sauk Rapids, St. Stephen, Rice, part of Aurora, Minnesota. Just seeing if the former mayor is paying attention here. And several townships in between. Many of you have already been into my district and haven't known that you have if you've gone to the greater lakes part of the state of Minnesota, north of Brainerd, because you would have come through either on Highway 10, Highway 15, or I-94. Making your way through that area, you've come through the best part of the state of Minnesota. And although this isn't the Transportation Committee, it is Commerce, we do need infrastructure in the way of road and road improvements in that area. So we appreciate your support if you like your cabin.
Thank you. And I want to note that Representative O'Driscoll is GOP lead for the Commerce Committee, so thank you.
Thank you.
And our GOP great research staff.
Chelsea Whitman, I'm GOP researcher for this committee. I currently live in St. Paul but grew up in Afton. If you're going to Afton, there's the Bellwin Nature Conservancy, and they have baby buffalo in the spring.
Thank you. Love that. And the member from Lyon, Representative Swadzinski, can tutor us all on pronunciation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Swadzinski. And I would like to just publicly thank Representative Paul Marquardt. I know he's not in this room, but I'm sure he's listening in his office to this committee hearing. But he was correct in pronouncing my name when he was at the rostrum when check-in. So I wanted to publicly thank him for that. So, I represent House District 16A.
That's all I got.
That's all.
And it's small wins that really matter.
How do you pronounce that screwball?
I represent House District 16A, which is the large city regional center of Marshall, Minnesota. My favorite place to visit is a small mom-and-pop chop ice cream shop called Schwan's Ice Cream Food Service. And it was just recently sold to out-of-country owner, but they were a family-owned company for many, many years, a big job creator in our district. And if you're unable to visit Marshall and visit Schwan's Foods, they are willing to come and visit you in your neighborhood. So give them a call. Thank you.
Very true. Thank you. And our committee page is somebody.
I'm Thomas DeGallia. I currently live in Minneapolis. I'm originally from Winona, Minnesota. My favorite place to visit is probably the scenic overlook in the Garden Heights Bluffs.
Nice. Welcome,
Wind
Thomas.
Windhawks or Ramblers, Madam Chair? Windhawks or Ramblers?
Windhawks.
Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing a little bit about your district. Welcome to the Commerce Committee, and let's explore Minnesota. Next item of business, just wanted to mention our committee operations and procedures, which you should be able to see from your folder is, of course, quite extensive in terms of the rules of and procedures, in that there are none, in keeping with the tradition of the Commerce Committee. I have found that this is a committee where real work happens, where we tend to bring bills together to work on them. If they're not ready, we take them out of committee and work harder and bring something back that, as Chair Davids has said, we can talk about peace and value as much as possible. And so our expectations is that we will work together. We will get our work done. We will come to committee, and if we can't be here, the assumption that we're all grown-ups, and if you're not here, you've got a reason to not be, so you'll be excused. If you have any questions, feel free to get in contact with Amy or myself. The one caveat with regard to rules is that if we find that we need them, we can put them into place. So, but I really think that the traditions of commerce, and many of you have served on commerce, many of you are new, and will be able to learn why this is such a wonderful committee to serve on. So with that, if anybody has any questions, happy to entertain them. Okay. Well, then we can move on. I'm very happy to be able to introduce an overview from the Minnesota Department of Commerce and welcome our new commissioner, Steve Kelly, to the table.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Welcome, Commissioner Kelly. And just will ask you and anyone that's presenting with you to introduce yourself for the record, and then you may proceed.
Madam Chair, I'm Steve Kelly. I am the commissioner of the Department of Commerce. I have the privilege to represent the department team here today and presenting an overview of the work of the department. And I would like to say that in 2 weeks since the governor asked me to take on this job, I have learned the answers to all the questions that you will ask, but that would be a misrepresentation on my part. So I'll have to call on my team members, John Kelly and Megan Verdeja and Peter Brickwetty, whom I'm sure many of you know. And so we will deal with the technical issues.
Technology is always challenging, so we can be patient. Don't worry.
Madam Chair, members, you should all have copies of the slide deck in your packet as well if you can't get this figured out.
Thank you,
Mr. Kelly. All right. So, Madam Chair, members, the mission of the department is to protect the public interest, to advocate for Minnesota consumers, ensure a strong, competitive, and fair marketplace, strengthen Minnesota's economic future, and serve as a trusted resource for consumers and businesses. The our department is small. We have about 345 full-time equivalent staff people. But we regulate over 22 industries. We license approximately 350,000 professionals and businesses. We provide consumer assistance, conduct fraud investigations, advocate for the public interest before regulatory bodies, deliver federal and state energy and telecommunications programs, and ensure equitable commercial and financial transactions and reliable utility service. So there's a slide that identifies the leadership team for the department, and I have already introduced my team members who deal with government affairs. So let me go on to protecting seniors, which is slide five in your packets. It can be hard to relate to an agency as diverse as the Commerce Department. So we're going to try to identify some stories that help to locate us in terms of the people that we serve. So one of the areas that I'm very interested in strengthening, because it's already a strength of the department, is the work we do to protect seniors from financial exploitation. One survey shows that one out of every five citizens over the age of 65 has been victimized by financial fraud. There's the Truelink Financial Report estimates that annual losses range between $2.9 billion and $36 billion for citizens in this category. And only one out of every 44 cases of financial abuse is ever reported. So the past few years, the department has made education and outreach, focusing on senior financial exploitation a priority. In 2017, the legislature appropriated funds to the department to develop a Hang Up on Fraud campaign aimed at providing outreach and education to seniors on the topic of financial fraud. That program has been extremely successful. We've distributed over 32,000 senior fraud prevention toolkits, and we can provide examples of one of those toolkits. And we've held over 109 outreach presentations and trainings in 33 counties across Minnesota. And I hope that you will take advantage of the resources that we can provide for your constituents by connecting them to us. If you hear anything in your offices about the kinds of issues that face seniors. One example is that just last fall, a fraudster had convinced a Minnesotan of 90 years old that the Minnesotan had won a sweepstakes. And before claiming his winnings, though, he was told that he had to send in money to pay taxes in advance. He sent a letter containing three money orders totaling $1,100 to an address in New York. The senior then fortunately realized that this was a fraud and contacted the Commerce Department. An agent from our Commerce Fraud Bureau got in touch with a counterpart at the Postal Inspection Service. And their quick action, the Postal Service was able to intercept the letter in New York before it reached the target address. And a few days later, the Commerce Fraud Bureau agent was able to return the money orders to the older Minnesotan. What's worth noting in the story is that the new financial exploitation line that was used was created after the passage of the Safe Seniors Financial Protection Act by the legislature. So under the new law, brokers and dealers, investment advisors are authorized to report suspected financial exploitation against a senior or a vulnerable adult client to the Commerce Department, and the phone numbers are on the presentation, so if you want to note that for your staff. If there's a suspicion of a fraud occurring, they can notify us. We don't have to wait for the victim himself or herself to recognize what is going on. Slide six is our Division of Energy Resources, and that division provides regulatory services but also oversees the State Energy Office, the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, and the Weatherization Assistance Program. We also advocate in the public interest in proceedings before the Public Utilities Commission, and that includes rate cases, resource plans, and certificates of need, and we advocate on behalf of Minnesota ratepayers in regional and federal matters. The division also conducts environmental review and provides technical assistance and assistance to the PUC related to large energy projects. Now, our state energy office provides renewable. So this is not this outside our sort of regulatory role because we enable the development of renewable energy resources through financing and technical assistance, and we also support energy efficiency efforts in the state. We oversee the state's conservation improvement program that provides for utilities assisting consumers to improve their own energy efficiency and conserve energy. The CIP program has helped grow over 49,000 jobs in Minnesota, and since 2006, the program has reduced CO2 emissions by over 8 million tons. That would be the equivalent of removing 1.7 million passenger vehicles from the road for 1 year. We monitor energy supplies serving the state. We serve as an information resource to Minnesota consumers, and we provide technical and financial resources to ensure efficiency to businesses, to consumers, and to local units of government and state agencies. We also pursue public and private partnerships to deploy new clean energy technologies and bring new venture capital opportunities to Minnesota. And I want to say, as coming into that job, the renewable energy opportunities to develop Minnesota's economy with new jobs is one of the things that most excites me about the opportunity to be an advocate at the department, and that I see the opportunity through renewable energy to provide those kinds of opportunities everywhere in Minnesota. It's great to hear the diversity of geography represented by the members of the committee, and we hope to be able to generate new jobs in every district in the state. The Weatherization Assistance Program also serves 1,700 households annually, and one of the things I'd like to see us do is identify ways that we can expand on that, especially helping some very low-income homeowners and renters in reducing their energy burdens. As we're looking at some of the coldest temperatures of the winter this week, though, even at a negative 7, if that's what we reach, it's certainly not the coldest that some Minnesotans have experienced. But it's important to keep in mind that the energy assistance program helps to ensure that residents are able to afford the energy that they have to buy in the winter. Our average grant is about $545, so it's not a lot of money, but to each individual it makes a huge difference. One of our recipients said this when questioned about it: "Energy assistance has been a godsend for my husband and me. It's wonderful because I've got poor circulation and other health issues, so I can't afford to turn the heat down too much. Thanks to the support we get to pay our utility bills, we don't have to choose between paying to heat our home or for basic necessities such as prescription drugs and groceries. For people on fixed incomes, energy assistance is fabulous. I tell many of my elderly friends that they should apply." Slide 7 represents our telecommunications unit. That is certainly advocates before our regulatory bodies. It also reviews filings made with the PUC to ensure compliance with state statutes, PUC orders, and state and federal regulations. It investigates complaints, and in 2018 alone, the unit investigated 571 telecommunications complaints. The unit ensures that consumers are protected in the transition from legacy technologies to, for example, voice over internet protocol. And the unit also administers the Telecommunications Assistance Program, which delivers free services to persons with hearing, speech, or physical disabilities through the Minnesota Relay, and funds the Telephone Equipment Distribution Program, which also provides specialized equipment to Minnesotans. You may recently have seen a story about the report that the department prepared related to Frontier Communications, We were asked by the Public Utilities Commission to investigate complaints that we had received regarding Frontier, and the investigation focused on service quality, customer service, and billing practices. I won't describe in detail the findings of that report, but we'd be happy to provide more information to the committee as you desire, Madam Chair, or respond to member inquiries regarding that. But the report did find frequent and lengthy service outages, numerous instances of failure to respond promptly, and frequent billing errors. And we recommended to the PUC that they order Frontier to correct those shortcomings, and we're awaiting PUC action in response to the report. And in that instance, then the department will be responsible for carrying out the PUC's order with respect to that that problem. The enforcement division deals with 22 industries in the state and covers a range of activities. We conduct civil investigations, criminal investigations, and securities-related registrations and examinations. We have a civil investigative team, a securities unit, and the Commerce Fraud Bureau. I want to highlight a couple cases from the Commerce Fraud Bureau. Members may have seen in the fall of 2018 a report of a prosecution by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office after a Commerce Fraud Bureau investigation of a contractor who was employing undocumented workers, and because they were undocumented, was able to exploit them. And one of the forms of exploitation was a failure to provide workers' compensation insurance. That falls into our area. And so an investigation by the Commerce Fraud Bureau led to the filing of a complaint by the Hennepin County attorney, and I think it's an instance of the way our work can protect workers, not only from exploitation related to workers' comp protection, but in this case it was also an instance of wage theft and sort of trafficking of human beings for labor purposes. And so we're interested in continuing that work and hope to partner with the new Attorney General on identifying additional ways that we can support protecting people in Minnesota from that kind of exploitation. We also combat insurance fraud. Two Twin Cities chiropractors were recently sentenced to prison for their roles in separate multi-million dollar insurance fraud conspiracies, and that was an instance where the Commerce Fraud Bureau collaborated with the Federal Bureau of Investigation to identify the scheme by which these chiropractors hired patient recruiters to solicit accident victims and billed millions of dollars to insurance companies. And both defendants were found guilty in federal court in separate jury trials. Commerce Fraud Bureau cases that have gone to trial have a 100% conviction rate. The Regulatory and Administrative Services slide illustrates what the division does to support the work of the agency, and I will go into a little bit more detail on parts of their work in the subsequent slides. One thing that we do that sometimes flies below the radar is that we administer the state's licensing and unclaimed property program. So we provide professional licenses, but I want to focus on unclaimed property. When, for example, you get a gift card, that is a form of property, and if you don't redeem that card, it's unclaimed property, and you still own it, but the asset is being held by the store or other entity that issued the card, they're responsible to return it to you. And so we identify property like that, try to identify the owners and get the property returned to them. But if we're not successful, we hold it in essence, in perpetuity, in hopes that the legitimate owner will show up to reclaim that property. And we've been successful in returning tens of thousands of claims in the last couple of years. And since fiscal year 2011, almost $250 million has been returned to claimants. The Consumer Services Center is our front door. That team helps resolve disputes between consumers and insurance companies, investigates complaints about improper claims practices, and provides outreach and education to consumers. In 2017, the center responded to 13,000 consumer phone calls. The Financial Institutions Division is responsible for licensing and regulating businesses that provide financial products and services. Banks, trust companies, credit unions, it's a long list. And through strong and efficient supervision, the division protects consumers, ensures the safety and solvency of these businesses, and promotes active financial markets with access to diverse products and services. There are 236 state-chartered banks, 72 credit unions, and 6,145 non-depository financial institutions. We do on-site examinations, monitoring, and engage in outreach activities to promote financial literacy among all Minnesotans and collaborate with state-chartered institutions, again, to protect seniors from fraud. Slide 13 is the insurance division. Our mission there is to ensure that licensed insurance companies doing business in Minnesota are financially sound, offer insurance products that are fair and with actuarially reasonable rates, and inform and respond to the insurance needs of the residents and businesses of Minnesota. We have the 10th largest insurance industry in the country, with 152 domestic insurance companies and 1,300 plus out-of-state companies. And insurance companies in Minnesota have over $42 million in written premium, which ranks 16th in the nation. Domestic insurers regulated by the insurance division hold $349 billion in assets, which is in 2017, which is a significant increase in just 2 years. We also collaborate with other state agencies, such as the partners at DHS and MDH, to identify health policy options, and that is one of the areas that I'm learning even more about because, as members know, there are significant decisions that the legislature will have to make this year, and we hope to be key participants with our partner agencies in recommendations to the governor regarding how to address some of those challenges, and then work with the committee to work on those ideas through the legislative process. We also supervise the Petro Fund, which is the Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Fund, contributing to a cleaner environment and helping to share the cost of cleaning up these facilities across a variety of providers of that. Since its creation in 1987, the fund has addressed 13,000 leak sites across Minnesota and paid out $450 million in reimbursements to eligible applicants. We also provide funding to the MPCA for administration of the petroleum remediation, tank compliance assistance, and emergency response programs, mainly to pay for state finance investigation and cleanup projects. We annually approve the use of funds by the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the administration of the Contamination Cleanup and Investigation Grant Program. And then finally, our weights and measures program is one area that Minnesotans come into contact with every day when they pump gas or buy something at the grocery store. The pump or the scale has been certified by one of the examiners from the Weights and Measures Division of the Department of Commerce. That is The reliability of those measuring devices is essential not only to protecting those consumers, but also to business success and commerce in Minnesota. We also provide Minnesota businesses with precision measurement services and certifying registered service agents for those businesses and for individuals. And we support key Minnesota industries through testing lumber and agricultural scales, certifying the test chains used to calibrate taconite scales, and enforcing the biodiesel and biofuel content mandates. We also protect Minnesotans' credit card information at the pump by checking for evidence of credit card skimmers. Just since 2016, Commerce inspections have found 114 skimmers implanted in gas pumps at various locations in the state. In 2018, our staff found 43 skimmers, and during the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl at the U.S. Bank Stadium, Commerce Weights and Measures inspectors conducted sweeps across the metro area. Devices found by our inspector are now part of active criminal investigations by the Commerce Fraud Bureau in partnership with other law enforcement agencies. One of those investigations resulted in the arrest and conviction of three Florida men who traveled to Minnesota to steal credit card information. They had installed skimmers on, for example, a BP station in Minneapolis. And then, regrettably, Representative, they used their stolen proceeds to go on a shopping spree at the Mall of America. Among other places. They're having a lot less fun now as a result of the vigilance of our weights and measures inspectors, and we're going to continue to work on this threat to consumers. So again, Madam Chair and members, thank you very much for your patience and an overview of a broad reaching agency, and I'd be happy to answer questions to the best of my ability or call on members of the team to help.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is really interesting, and that was an impressive amount of information in a short amount of time, and we have a lot of areas that we have responsibility for. I'm happy to entertain questions from our members. Representative Lesh was first.
I can't remember what my question was.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a good one.
Okay.
Something to do with the gift cards, but it'll come to me later.
It'll come to you. Okay. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and congratulations, Commissioner, on your appointment. One area that I spent a lot of time last year working on was the reinsurance pool, and Commissioner Rothman said it saved the individual marketer. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting exactly here. I never quote exactly. Commissioner Luman said that it was successful in stabilizing the individual market, and it's going to be a heavy lift, but what's the department's position on the reinsurance bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Davids,
Mr. Kelly.
Our position is that we're going to provide good advice to the governor so that the governor can take a position with respect to the reinsurance provisions and other health care related initiatives that the governor may be interested in pursuing. And our job as a supporter of market stability is to provide good evidence to the governor and to other agencies regarding the effects of policies that they might propose on the insurers and consumers in Minnesota. So we don't have an independent position, and we're working with the governor's office and the other agencies to assist the governor in developing the position that the Walz-Flanagan administration will take.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner, what will your advice to the governor be?
Is to rely on the facts. And I think, Madam Chair, Representative Davids, I'm not trying to be coy about this. In a conversation with my colleagues from other agencies, I do see our role as helping to hold open the decision space for the governor to be as wide as possible and not to direct him or the lieutenant governor in any particular direction, but to assist them in looking at a range of options. And I take that responsibility quite seriously.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And this will be an ongoing discussion. We don't need, obviously, an answer today, but that will be, I think, a big part of the committee time because it's very, very important. Because I understand if the reinsurance plan we passed last year really worked, it really worked well. And if we don't repass, one of the numbers I've been reading is that rates would go up in the individual market 50%. And that's just intolerable for the self-employed Minnesotan. So I'll look forward to working with you and Madam Chair as we move forward on this issue and others. Thank you.
And Representative Davids, if I can and jump in as well, and I think that you hit upon something that's really important, and that is what is the consumer experience in Minnesota, and how do we be sure, how do we make sure that we're putting consumers first? So you have my commitment that it's something that we're definitely be working on this year. So thank you,
Madam Chair. Mm-hmm.
And Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And since you're handing out commitments, I'd like to get mine too. Thank you, Madam Chair. So, a question for you, and congratulations, Commissioner Kelly. In this committee over the last at least 4 years or so, and longer than that, we have worked on many bipartisan agreements in the areas of VoIP, and you mentioned that here, as well as all areas of that net neutrality as well. And I'm curious a couple things. What is your position or your department's position on the previous rulings that have happened and occurred in the areas of VoIP, and what recommendations might you or might you not make on that? And the second part of this, and I can ask it again if you need me to, but what is your position on the current FCC's ruling on net neutrality and the direction they've taken?
Commissioner Kelly, before we go to you, could I ask Representative Kreisha, for new members, could you just briefly state what VoIP is, since we talked in those acronyms quite a bit and you have some expertise, Representative Kreisha?
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair. So VoIP is Voice over IP, and as you know, we've been having the conversations about how we would move forward with new regulations changing from landlines over to the new technology of digital technology, so if that helps.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Kelly.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreisha, I have not reviewed the recent VoIP ruling, so I would have to get back to you in terms of our response to that. Our responsibility as a department is to carry out the rulings of the commission, and so I would expect that until those rulings change, that's our responsibility. With respect to net neutrality, I have not talked with the governor about whether the governor has a view on net neutrality, since anybody could probably look up some things that I might have said in a previous position regarding net neutrality. I think candor suggests that I can say that I am a supporter of a more common carrier approach to thinking about telecommunications than the Federal Communications Commission order represents, especially given the essential character of so much of the internet infrastructure. But the department's position will depend on the governor's position ultimately, but I think in fairness have to acknowledge that I've talked publicly about support for public neutrality, net neutrality.
You have a follow-up, Representative Kreisha?
Thank you, and thank you for that and your candor, and I appreciate that. One thing that I would just add is I think those of us that have been involved in this issue and those that have been in the committee know that the issue can be very complex and requires very delicate balances of agreements, and for lots of good reasons, for consumers as well as for the providers. And I would just point out and certainly offer my support and help your advice. If you're looking for advice, just come to my office. What I would offer is that this is very important not only to the whole state, but in rural Minnesota in particular, because many of those re-regulations have expanded and given providers the ability to move quickly in ways that they couldn't. And so we've seen a very positive. So I would hope that that would be under consideration.
And,
thank you, Representative.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreisha, just call my office if there's something that you think I should be paying attention to, I welcome that kind of interaction. I think that's an important role for the department to play. And yes, I am a supporter of innovation and of deployment of broadband everywhere in Minnesota. And I think it's important for the department to work with the governor's office and the PUC to identify ways that we as a department can assist the expansion of high-speed telecommunications everywhere in Minnesota.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. Welcome to the committee, and I know you've been spending a lot of time in this building today visiting with various members, and I appreciate you being here with us today. I want to follow up a little bit on some of the conversation that Representative Davids started with, and you and I had an opportunity earlier today to talk a little bit about the reinsurance program. And one of the things that you mentioned to me earlier today and shared with the committee this afternoon was that you view your role as giving good advice to the governor and giving him a wide range of options to look at. One of the things that has traditionally been done in the department is to appoint a deputy commissioner of insurance. And I understand right now that that position is vacant and that you're looking at candidates to fill that role. Could you maybe share with the committee the type of candidate that you're looking for in a deputy commissioner that would help you to put the department and Minnesota in the best position to be able to advise the governor on these very important matters for consumers in the state of Minnesota?
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, it's a really great question. I think about that.
Sure, that's why I asked.
I'm thinking about that every other day, or every day, actually, as I try to identify my priorities. So, certainly, it should be somebody familiar with the insurance industry, familiar. This would be sort of a preferred rather than required qualification, but knowledge of the regulatory process with respect to insurance. But I also think an emphasis perhaps on the health side of things because of the importance, especially this session, of the need to provide that good advice to the governor. I think it would be important to have someone with some strength in the health insurance area particularly. But I'm open to other ideas. Some people have pointed out to me that perhaps in the past we may not have paid enough attention to the property and casualty side of the work that the agency does. And so in identifying some preferences to you, I'm not ruling out that a person could have other strengths, but those are the current priorities that I have.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Commissioner, to that point, could you talk a little bit, maybe in some more specificity, about where that person might come from? Is it going to be somebody who might have been in the regulatory part of the industry, someone who might have been in the industry in the private sector, a combination? And again, I have to be honest with you, I don't even know who the candidates are, so I'm speaking honestly and blindly from this position, so I don't know who you're considering and who's even in the running for this. I'm just trying to get an idea and give the commission, the committee an idea, too, as to what are some of our prospects and what are some of your preferences as the commissioner.
Madam Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, since it is a personnel matter, I'm going to be cautious in responding to it. But let's just say the people that I have known at various points in my experience have this is my fourth career, okay, and my sense is that a lot of people that might be qualified for this job have actually moved through different aspects of the industry, and so to say that they come from one particular place I think would be an inaccurate way of thinking about it. The sense I have is that somebody who would be a good candidate for this has actually got a wide range of experience during his or her career and would bring that to the agency.
Follow-up, Representative O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, if I could just change the line of questioning just a little bit to another area. As I was looking through the slide deck today, the Commerce Department has jurisdiction over others that aren't listed in here, some of Minnesota's other regulated industries. We did talk about the insurance industry, which includes the carriers and licensees, producers, but I didn't see anything here on real estate salespeople, brokers, or appraisers, and maybe the commissioner wants to just do a little bit of backgrounding for that, since there are a number of licensees, and that does affect the Minnesota consumers in a quite regular way as well, in purchase and sale of real estate, as well as insurance products that were previously mentioned.
Okay. Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, and any of those omissions were designed to limit the amount of time I was taking in a monologue to the committee, and so it was not intended in any way to send a message about their importance to the work of the department. But in terms of specifics about those areas, this is one where I would at this point call on a staff person to talk a little bit more about those particular professions.
Thank you. Mr. Brickwitty, welcome. Could you introduce yourself?
Madam Chair, for the record, Peter Brickwitty, Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Commerce, Representative O'Driscoll, to your question. Thank you for bringing that up, and agree with the Commissioner's remarks about certainly not wanting to, it's like talking about your children, right? We do license real estate professionals and real estate businesses to work in the state of Minnesota. One of our largest licensure types. We also regulate the continuing education course providers and the pre-licensed education providers for those industries as well. Two things that I would highlight. Last year, real estate salespersons and business renewals, individual licenses are due on June 30th of every year. So you have two-year licenses, half approximately of the state's real estate agents and brokers renew in an odd year or an odd-numbered year. And the other half in an even year. This past year, we actually had a very successful year. Our renewal numbers were about 5% higher than they had been on average previously, so we were very happy with that. We had increased our communications and outreach to licensees to communicate about the deadline and had partnered with the Realtors Association on some of that as well, too. So we were very pleased to see those numbers, and I think reflects the health of that industry in Minnesota. And then with the appraisers, we have, with your assistance, reconstituted the Real Estate Appraiser Advisory Board last session. That was something that we worked together with the industry, and thanks to your help, we were able to move through the legislature. That advisory group has had its first meeting. We'll have its second meeting here in February and plans to meet quarterly going forward, and then can meet as needed. And that has been a good place. And was a priority to create a more permanent venue for dialogue and conversation between the department and that industry on regulatory matters.
Representative O'Driscoll, follow-up.
Madam Chair, I just want to thank Mr. Brickwitty and the Commissioner for answering the questions. I have no further questions at this time.
Thank you. Any further questions, committee members? Well, you guys answered a lot of questions in terms of just your presentation and giving us a good overview. I do also want to mention that I'm sure you guys have seen this, but there are a lot of areas that we didn't get to cover thoroughly. So I think that this is also included in our packets. So feel free to reference that if you're wondering if something is commerce related or not. But I do believe that this is the beginning of conversations with the new commissioner, with the agency and members. There's a lot of really interesting and good experience around this table. And I think that we will have good thoughts, discussions, and advice to bring forward to you to share with the governor. So appreciate your time today. Congratulations again on your appointment, and look forward to working with you this
session. Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you to all the members.
Thanks. With seeing that there's no other business in front of this committee, we are adjourned. Enjoy your afternoon.